Behind the Law, the official podcast of West Tigers.
Well, hello and welcome to Behind the Raw, the official podcast of West Tigers, celebrating our 25th year in the NRL. And to do that, we're reconnecting with a few of our former players. And this limited edition series, it is called The Originals. Some of the guys we'll be talking to played in that very first game at Campbelltown Stadium against the Broncos in round one in 2000. A couple of the others were in the formative years. Behind the Raw is proudly sponsored by PWA, Pro Wrestling Australia. Well, this week's guest, he played 97 NRL games across six seasons, including 75 games with West Tigers, where he scored 25 or 26 tries across 3.5 seasons. He then went to the UK. I think it was a year he played with London Broncos, also played a year with Salford City Reds. It was over there, in fact, that I first met this fella. We were both working at the time at London Broncos. And we've also been, I guess, in the same stable at a couple of radio stations at 2GB and also where he works now and is doing a wonderful job with SEN. He's also been the face of a very well-known betting company for many years now. And as our team prepares for its first home game of the 2024 season, I thought we'd get in the player who, well, has his name on the very first West Tigers jersey. It is West Tigers player number one. Joel Kane, welcome.
Very nicely said, Chris. Appreciate that. I've never actually really heard that read out or said, and it's pretty special now that you say that.
Well, it's not just the originals, but you are the original.
Yeah.
Player number one. I know it's only a number, but it's pretty special, right?
Yeah, and the team here have done a great job. The alumni, Paddy Richards, Chrissy Lawrence, etc. And I couldn't make the day. But my daughter, Miller, who's also a fullback,
a couple of weeks
ago, she came back, and it was very, very special. I think, you know, now we're 25 years on, you know, it's a true built club now, isn't it?
No, it is. It is. And we're going to talk about you because you were there day one. And I reckon you played in every single game that first season. Would I be right?
I did.
You talk about the alumni. So a couple of weeks ago, and we got it off the ground, and you couldn't come. As you say, you were busy with your commitments at SEN. Or Sportsbet or Channel 9 or wherever. I mean, you've got 1,000 jobs. But your daughter, Miller, came along.
Yes.
Now, I didn't get a chance to meet her. She's a beautiful young woman.
Yeah.
She's a good football player herself. Clearly takes after mum, right?
Oh, definitely. Well, mum was a sprinter, so she does. But her dad, her grandfather, my wife's dad, Wayne Smith, played, I think he's like the third or fourth most capped magpie of all time. So
yeah, right.
I think she harbours quietly an ambition one day to be a third generation Tiger. Don't let the Sharkies hear that, but dreams are free, Chris.
Because you live in the Shire. So yes. Mate, get her into our system. We're going great guns with the female pathways here.
Oh, she loves it. And she goes to school up the road. We saw Kezzy Apps when we turned up, and she's, oh, Dad, there's Kezzy. And
oh, mate, the pieces of this puzzle are all being put together. No. She's in, Miller.
Miller.
How old?
17.
17.
Yeah, loves it. Absolutely loves
it. So where's she playing now with the Sharks?
Sharks, Lisa Fiola at fullback, yeah.
We're going pretty good in the Fiola.
Yeah.
Our girls.
The Tigers beat our girls on the bell.
There you go.
So when I say our girls, the Sharkies girls. But
yeah. Well, hang on, you can't have a foot in both camps. No. Are you a Shark or a Tiger? Well,
I'm family first, Chris. Yeah.
We play the Sharks this weekend.
Yes.
We'll talk about that at the back end of the show. You're a busy, busy fella. Right. And I said you've got 1,000 jobs, which is great. You've got to look after your family. But you've got four kids as well.
Yes.
How do you fit it all in?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm the eldest of six. And we had five kids under the age of 10. Mum and dad were quite young when they had me. So I think I was talking to my brother about this the other day. He said, I think you're just used to chaos. I think I'm literally just built to survive chaos somehow.
Organized chaos?
Organized chaos, I think.
It is good to be busy. I'm a bit the same.
Yeah.
And you just carry on, don't you?
It's all you know, isn't it?
It's all you know.
Yeah.
If you're not busy, something's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember Sugar? Sugar, that's a beautiful nickname, isn't it?
Jimmy Dimmick gave me that at London.
At London Broncos.
So the thing is, so a lot of the West Tigers alumni would never have called me that in their life.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't until I got to the London Broncos where
in
you
05.
Were at, and I'm walking over onto the field, In 03, late 03.
Late 03, mid-season you left.
Yeah. And Jimmy Dimmick yells out, "Sugar!" I'd never met Jimmy in my life.
True.
And it's stuck ever since then.
So I met, that's when I first met Joel.
Yeah.
Was in London because I was working at London Broncos for about 8 or 10 years. And a lot of Aussies were coming over. Jimmy Dimmick was over there. Yeah. We had a good crew.
Yeah, great crew.
Yeah.
Mick Gillette, another Tiger alumni.
Mick Gillette, another Tiger.
Yep.
Nick Bradley Galawalwa.
Yep.
We had a few Tigers come through there. We're getting off track here.
No, that's right.
I do remember vividly we were in Greenwich because we played at the home of Charlton, the Valley, didn't we, for a couple of years at that period. So we're over there and I remember we were having a beer in a pub in Greenwich. And that's where the mean time is set. That's where the whole of world's time is set in Greenwich, right? The Greenwich Meridian?
Yep.
Mean time, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We had a beer and you were perched up at the bar. And he was doing a Rabs impersonation commentary. So you were still playing footy.
Yeah.
But deep down there was a desire, wasn't there, to become a broadcaster, a commentator.
Yeah, in hindsight, I didn't know at the time, but in hindsight, I'm probably a big believer in the law of attraction. So the amount of times that, as an apprentice, I'd be sort of driving for hours every day to get to whatever substation I had to get to. And quite often...
Apprentice what? What was your job?
Electrical fitter.
Okay, didn't know.
Yeah, so I was there... I'd finished at my 10th school, which was John Paul II Marion, and I'd applied for one job, which was, it was an IQ test, which those sorts of things where you don't have to study, I go okay at. And I got the job, but every time I'd be driving to work, I'd be commentating whether it was a horse race or a game of rugby league. Yeah. And I think back to that. And I was never a gifted kid. But I never had any doubt that I'd play first grade. And I think that if you just talk yourself into something so much, eventually it'll happen. I think that happened for both the playing career and the commentary.
Do you?
But your dad did the same thing, Chris. Like,
well, he was a fitter and turner. Well, no, his dad was a fitter and turner, but he was a trade as well.
No, but he talks about how he put it out
there
in the universe.
That he knew what he wanted.
Yes.
He knew that he wanted to be a sports broadcaster.
Yes.
He knew he wanted to... Yep. Call races, and then it became footy.
That's right.
And he worked hard and he chased it.
Yep. I'll never forget my real start. Well, actually, Mick Buten, we'd be in the sheds downstairs here having a shower, and because of the acoustics of the bathroom, and Mick Buten, he'd say, "Mate, can you call a Melbourne Cup or can you call us winning this week?"
Well,
here, downstairs here.
Concord, way before this.
Way before. And so how I got my start into the commentary was Mick Buten was working for Community Radio, fell sick one day and said, "Mate, can you do this for me?"
Yeah.
So I'm calling this game, Penrith versus the Broncos. Nobody in the planet's listening to this call. No one.
Yeah.
But next to me is the all-conquering continuous call team. And I thought to myself, and I taped my call because you want to sort of try and improve. And I taped my call. And as I'm leaving, Ray Hadley comes out of the 2GB box.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? If you don't ask, you don't get.
So good, eh?
So how do I broach this with Ray Hadley, who I absolutely adore? And I said, "Ray, have you got 10 seconds? And I figured everyone on the planet's got 10 seconds. You can't say no.
Yeah.
Have you got 10 seconds? And he said, "Oh, yeah, sure." And I played him the tape, and then he rang me about 5 o'clock the next morning, and next thing you know, I'm off to Around the Grounds in Canberra for about $200.
Yeah, it's a long trip.
But it's all part of it.
200 in fuel. You get paid your 200, return
home. Right.
But you do it for nothing. Really,
and you'd be carrying this big box and you'd be setting it all up and your heart rate would be pounding. You'd say, "Let's go around the grounds, GIO Stadium. I can't stuff this up."
I did a similar thing, you know, and I got started around the grounds. And it was actually when his statue was being unveiled in Juneau.
Yes.
It was 2010, I think, or 2012. And they were stuck for numbers. So, yeah, okay, I can do this. I did around the grounds and one thing led to another. And I love it. You love it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But let's just talk a bit of footy before we jump into it. How this is going to work, by the way.
Okay.
And we're going to run short of time, but we'll work around it.
Okay.
We'll have a set of six. We'll get to know a bit more about you, which we've already probably done. We'll have a favourite five in 25, celebrating our 25th year. And then at the end of the program, with about a minute, see the clock up there?
Yep.
With about a minute on the clock, off the top ropes, okay? Yep. Turnbuckle time.
Oh.
Quick quiz.
That's the quiz, isn't it?
Max score 25.
Who's the market leader there off the top of your head? Who do I need to beat?
You're the first of the originals going out. We've got a couple in the can.
Yes.
I'll be
honest. I'm setting the mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck, boys.
But you are a bit of a stats geek.
Yeah, I know, but I'm getting old now, Chris. I forget a lot of stuff.
Take a sec before you bet.
Yeah, exactly.
Righto. Just on the footy, so two rounds in, there's what, five teams that are two from two. Too early to really set down any markers. I think it's fair to say Storm are again going to be strong.
Yep.
Raiders are going to be there or thereabouts, certainly going to be strong. Cowboys looking good.
Yep.
Brooksy's looking good at Manly.
He is.
We always, I think, knew that he
he
would fit in there. Yep. Manly going good. Our boys at the weekend, it was their first game. They certainly didn't give up. They, I think, conceded one try in the second half.
Yep.
A lot of teams are going to go to Canberra and come back without the points.
Yep.
If you're given 13 or 14 penalties away, it's going to be very hard to win any game.
And I think the completions were something like one from two for us, first 12 from 12 or something. You just we were just stuck in the gates, weren't we?
Yeah.
Galvin, I saw him on the way in here, and I didn't know anything about him. I'd heard the spruik, and you sort of temper those thoughts a little bit. But when I saw him run onto the field, Chris, I saw the same thing I saw with Kalen Ponga in his first Origin. He had this beaming smile. And when I coach juniors in big games, I say, boys, you want it, or girls, you want to be here. You wanted to be here. But most people make it a very negative experience. I said, go out there and smile like you wanted to be here. And I saw that with Galvin running on, and I thought, holy dooly, this boy's ready. And I don't think he'll ever play reserve grade again. I think he's so locked and loaded. And hopefully by the time you're listening to this podcast, he keeps playing first grade. But to me, just looks like a locked and loaded first grader.
Yeah, big raps, but he's, you saw what he can do. Yeah. Certainly did not look out of place at all. And in terms of a smile, beaming smile for all 80 minutes, beaming smile on the bus down there. His whole family were there. So we didn't get the points, but that was certainly a beacon of light for us.
Yep.
And Solomon Fa'atape.
Yep.
Another debutant as well. So there's some good things to come out of it.
But and Jareem's just getting better. Like he's signed him up for life sort of stuff, isn't he?
He has signed up long time. But that first try that Lockie laid on, inside ball against the grain to Jareem, another inside ball there to Samuel Afenu. So
that try you're talking about, don't underestimate the part Benji and co played in that. That was a coach's try. They've clearly picked out a man, get him for speed on the outside. The gap opens up and then he – so that was, well done from Galvin, Jareem, and young Finu, but I reckon Benji had a bit of sprinkling on that.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. And you saw all the boys actually just going off to training then. This weekend, we're at Leichhardt. It's our first home game of the season against your – well, I don't like calling them your Sharks. You're one of
my
us.
Sharks.
You live in the Shire.
Yeah, but that level, I'm a Tiger.
You never change your stripes, right? At Leichhardt Oval Saturday night, SG Ball, Balmain playing Curtain Raisers. That'd be a nice experience for them. We'll chat about that a little bit later on. Just before we roll into the set of six, just a little bit of club news as well. Big, big congratulations to our Andrew Johns Cup boys, the under-16s, MacArthur West Tigers. They're into the final this weekend. Awesome, isn't it?
Bloody oath.
Speaking of pathways, we've got 8 or 9 pathways teams in action this weekend. Good luck to all of you. 9 if you include our development team. Just going through those fixtures for you. Harold Matz, our Balmain Tigers, take on Manly Sea Eagles. That's at Four Pines Park on Saturday. Then we've got the SG Ball Balmain boys. As I've said, they will be a curtain raiser for our NRL team's match on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval. Kirkham Oval, Camden. So we've got 4 teams in action there. The Lisa Fiola and Tasha Cup girls, they'll take on the Rabbitohs. And then Harold Matthews and SG Ball, West Magpies are in action against Sydney Roosters. So a big day in Camden. Get out there if you can and see all 4 games and then shoot across to Leichhardt Oval when that is complete. A development match, our Balmain Tigers development boys are taking on the Sharks on Sunday. That's at Lidcombe Oval. So a big, big day at Lidcombe Oval. And of course, playing for the Tommy Rudonikas Cup in the knock-on effect New South Wales Cup. Newtown Jets and the Magpies, that's the Coe match. That's kicking off at 2 p.m. on Sunday. The Jersey Flegg They will also play at Lidcombe Oval on Sunday, and they kick off at midday. Also on Sunday, as we said, a huge day for the under-16s, the Macarthur West Tigers, in the grand final of the Andrew Johns Cup. They're up against the Central Coast Roosters. That match is at Baddeley Park in Cessnock on Sunday, a 10:30 a.m. kickoff. Good luck to all of our Pathways teams, particularly the Andrew Johns Cup team in the grand final. Our Laurie Daly boys, the under-18s, they lost last weekend in the semi-final. They're up 16-0, but they lost. But well done, fellas, on making it to the semi-finals. In terms of the Pathways, our Harold Matz team for West Magpies, unbeaten, six from six, top of the table.
Wow.
Keep up the good work, fellas. Our ball team also still very much well in contention for the finals. You talk about your young
Lisa
girl,
Fiola,
Miller,
Lisa well.
Fiola. We're going pretty well there, still in with a shot of the finals as well. So generally across the board, Pathways is going good. Forget what you might have read last weekend. I think there was an article on the back page of, I don't know, I think it was a Telegraph, because we lost all three grades in Canberra, pretty big score racked up. We had some disappointing results in Pathways. So the tone of the story was West Pathways Development Club, everything, plans are shot. Please look a little bit closer, and things are looking.
It's one game. You saw what happened to the Dolphins. Dolphins come out first assignment, comfortably beaten, and then you can turn it around like that.
Absolutely. You ain't seen nothing
like this. Pro Wrestling Australia presents Ringmasters at the Sydney Spiegelton, Friday, April 19. Tickets available now on OzTix. PWA Ringmasters. This ain't no three-ring circus.
Righto. Well, the opening set of six. You ready to go?
Ready to rock
and roll?
Yep.
Jolie Kane. It is Friday, the 14th of August, 1998. It's round 23. It's against the Raiders.
Yes.
At what was called Bruce Stadium.
That's right.
Back in the day. It is your NRL debut. You're playing with St. George Illawarra Dragons. Referee? Well, hang on. No. Would have just been the Dragons.
Yes.
Forget the Illawarra bit.
Yep.
Talk about that. The referee is Steve Clark.
Yes.
You're coming off the bench. Brett Mullins, by the way, is the fullback for the Raiders. Yeah, Nathan Blacklock is the fullback for the Red V. All righty, there is the whistle. Question one, tackle one, the early days. Just briefly, your path through to first grade, how did it happen?
I would go down on a bike nearly every day to a park by myself, practicing the Ricky Stewart. Like back in those days, you'd applaud if you could do a torpedo kick, bounce once, and then go out. You'd get applauded for that. There's no 40-20s. And I'd be down there practicing that kick. And then all of a sudden, my debut, Mark Coyne, they didn't want to tell me until late, he's not playing in this game. So I'm unpacking my bag at Bruce Stadium. And David Waite says, oh, mate, you're getting ready early. And I'm getting ready. Like I said, I'm always ready early, Waite, you know. He goes, but you're not playing till 7:30? And then my heart sunk. I knew I was playing. And my very first touch, this kick I'd practiced my whole life.
Were you named to play reserve grade?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so then I got promoted to first grade. A young kid who was 16 got promoted to play reserve grade by the name of Mark Gaznia. He did okay.
Yeah.
So he took my spot in reserve grade. Mark Coyne was out. And my very first touch, I came on, it was 28 points to 4 or something. We rattled home. But my very first touch, I'm at Bruce Stadium, and this latching torpedo bomb from the bloke I just loved, Ricky Stewart.
Mm.
And somehow to this day, I feel like Brett Mullins almost gave it back to me. I feel like he could have taken it off me, but just felt sorry for me, and somehow it stuck. I don't know. But we rattled home to 28-24. Mundine went berserk. Blacklock went berserk. It was very, even though we lost, it was a great night.
Yeah. Junior reps. This is part of question one still. Junior reps, where was your pathway?
I was from Port Macquarie, and long story short, because I've told this many, many times, but myself and a bloke from Port Taree came down to trial together. I had a really bad trial at Jubilee Stadium, and my mate from Taree has a blinder, absolute blinder. In a hurry, they're on the phone to me to sign me for a two-year deal. My mate never gets signed ever, and I couldn't understand why. He ends up taking up a contract at Newcastle. And as it turns out, they'd mucked us up. They'd meant to sign him and not me. Danny Badiris was the other player.
A bit like Bedsy.
Yeah, back in those days, little blokes with brown hair, I suppose. But
So it was chance then you ended up at the Dragons. A mistake.
Massive chance. Yeah, a massive, sorry.
Clerical error.
Clerical error. Massive clerical error. And Bedsy could have been a Dragon.
Wow.
Which to be fair, things also happened for him because Nathan Brown had a long mortgage on that number 9 jersey.
Yeah.
Him going to Knights, playing with the Johns boys, clearly worked out for him as well.
Yeah, yeah. How did you end up at Balmain then in 99?
Well, I was just started to get settled into first grade back in 98, and then all of a sudden there's this talk around mergers. And, you know, Luke Patton was there, Lee Murphy was there, Nathan Blacklock was there, Dean Raper was there, long list of fullbacks. Mm. And Junior Pierce said, I'll back you here. And then, so myself, Steve Price and Brad Smith all left the Dragons together to go to Balmain. And then just putting the bags and unpacking there, and all of a sudden there's merger talks again. I thought, I'm going to back myself this time.
So what took you to England then in mid-2003? So what have you played? You've played 3 seasons.
Yep.
And then you head off to England.
Yeah, bad form would be the answer. When you're a little bloke, you have to, and you've seen it with players in the past. Ben Barber went up to the Broncos, put on a bit of weight, lost a bit of speed, and you dramatically come back to the field. Then he went to the Sharks, got it all back. But for me, I was one of the best trainers in the club, probably one of the quickest at the time. Mm. And you lose that half yard of pace and that half gap you're going to score tries with. Next thing you know, Gordon Tallis is ragdolling you.
Brett.
Yeah, exactly right. But so I'd lost a yard of pace, I'd put on a little bit of weight, and the reason behind that was a major sponsor at the time called Radisson Main, they actually went to jail. They'd ripped me off a lot of money.
Oh, okay. Right?
So, and it was highly stressed, very stressful for a long period of time. And I just, my form just fell through. I was preoccupied in the mind, and unfortunately I couldn't sort of compartmentalize it and get on with football. So I just came back to the field and I was just really looking for a fresh start.
Yeah, right. Tackle 4, we've already touched on this. And I was going to ask you, when did you sort of know that you wanted to get into the media post footy? It's probably already covered that.
Yeah.
But you always thought.
I don't know why, Chris. Like, I don't know why. Like, probably like your dad, where he didn't have anyone above him that wanted to do it. It was just something he wanted to do. So I was doing the same thing, call the Melbourne Cups as a 10-year-old. Like, and my parents weren't into racing or...
No.
So it was just something that was always there, and I can't really explain why.
So how'd the sports bit gig come about? Because you've been doing that for a long time.
That was a chance meeting as well. So they were just after former players to tell a few stories. I told a few yarns, and all of a sudden Sportsbet had secured a contract with a show that you may or may not remember called Thursday Night Live. Bill Woods used to host it.
Yep.
And they had a little spot on there, and I'd only met them through this luncheon a couple of days before, and they said, oh, we need to get someone on. You told a few good yarns. Can you come and do that? And I said, yeah, no worries. And Matthew Tripp's dad, Alan Tripp, at the time said, oh, get him off. He's hopeless after the first go. And they said, oh, I'll give him one more go. And thankfully, the second time, whatever I said that day worked.
Yeah.
And I've been there. It was April Fool's Day 2009, so a long time ago.
Wow. I mean, there's been some chance moments, hasn't there? You bumped into Hadley and got 10 seconds there. Danny Medeiros was supposed to go to the Dragons. Right. You got to start there.
Yep.
And then you end up at the betting company. Playup's our betting company, by the way.
That's
thank you, Playup, for being on one. Now, your cohort at SEN, Brian Fletcher, is a funny bastard.
Oh.
A great bloke.
Yes.
A great bloke. But do you ever get to the point when you're doing Drive with Joel and Fletch, looking at that clock, just praying and waiting for home time?
Yeah, of course you do. But it's very easy with Brian. And you know him. And you know what? The viewers and the listeners know him as well, because everything that he does and says is exactly him. Yeah. There's no facade. It's exactly him. He's just a good bloke and a pleasure to work with.
Well, of the 2000... Hey, Fletch, by the way. Yeah. Of the 2000 West Tigers crew... Who would most closely fit the mould of a Brian Fletcher?
Oh, who would most like, you know, back at the top time, so likeable, so lovable, so funny, mate, Ciriaco Mesha. I just love the bloke. Mm. Absolutely love him. And you could always have a laugh. Oh, Corey Pearson later on. I mean, Pearson would just hold court. You know, you'd... you go to a Chinese lunch or something, the Lazy Susan. Lazy Susan never worked harder than when Corey Pearson was in company, let me tell you that.
that's the circle in the middle of the Chinese restaurant, the Lazy Susan.
Oh, she did some laps if he was there, let me tell you.
I chatted with Mesh last couple of weeks ago.
Oh, right? What a man.
I haven't seen him for 30 years.
Yeah, have you not?
He took me spot at Magpies.
Did he now?
Yeah.
So we probably have different memories of him then.
No, great fella. Yeah, no, yeah,
champion fella.
He was a hard grafting worker. There was nothing of him. Sinewy. Batlow boy. Batlow apples. Yeah. That's right. Played so much above his weight. Great fella.
Great fella.
Great.
One of my favourites.
He was here at the alumni launch a couple of weeks back. So quite a few of them.
Missed him.
Sparkles O'Halloran.
Yes.
There's another
great
Tiger who ended up in London Broncos as well. So it was good to catch up with a few of those boys.
Great fellas.
Righto, Sugar. Let's now, to celebrate 25 years, right? Our 25th year. Memorable moments, okay? Your top five in 25, what we're calling it, all right? Can I ask you your fondest memory of your time at West Tigers?
Yeah, definitely the Tigers' first game. I was so nervous. There was articles written about, you know, Matt Sears should be the fullback and not this bloke Kane, and to come out and get player of the round in that very first game was very, very special. But I think sometimes, Chris, you get yourself to a point where I was so nervous the whole week, and then I was driving to the game. I don't have a great memory about games and things like that, but this particular moment, I'm on the M5. I used to drive the training a lot with Mick Gillette, and he was absolutely petrified about this game. And I knew, and he said, "You're so calm." I said, "Mate, I've been so nervous the whole week. I've almost exhausted myself with that, and I know I'm ready to go." I just knew that day was going to be my day, and it just thankfully played out that way.
Was there a buzz around? I was in London at the time, right? Was there a buzz around the joint at Campbelltown? It must have been a great moment.
Well, I tipped Jermaine Asako last year for top point scorer, and everyone laughed at me. But the reason I did it, sole reason I did it, was because that new energy of a club, you know, that there was a buzz. There was a real buzz, and I knew the same thing was happening at the Dolphins. And I thought, well, if I could do it, he could do it. And he did. So there was a massive buzz, and everyone had a fresh start. You know, there was no the coaches obviously had kept who they wanted to and who had good relationships with at the West Tigers. And it was an amazing buzz.
It was a handy side. The Broncos turned out.
Was.
The Broncos turned out.
Yeah.
It was an amazing side.
The team we played, the Broncos?
That day.
Well, I reckon, Nelly, if you went through the team list, almost every player, I reckon, would have played for state or country. And they actually went on to win the competition that year. So it was. We were a good side too, Chris. When we lost McCracken midway through the year, and I'll never forget the commentary of, we were dusting up Penrith, and it's a famous game, one of the great comebacks where Penrith come back and beaten us. But we were flogging Penrith, and this is late in the year, and we're sitting second in the competition, and Gus Gould said, "This is the team to beat to win this competition." And we were at that time. And then almost from the time that was said, our whole world caved in. The week before, we played the game in the snow.
Yeah,
We're beaten on the bell there.
Bruce
Stadium.
Yeah.
And so that 2 weeks just complete. We actually missed the finals. The wheels completely fell off after those 2 weeks.
You went cold.
Massively cold.
After the snow.
Yeah. Hadn't thought out.
That Broncos team, right? I'm just looking at the pack here. I won't go through the whole team. Webke. Seven receiver props, Luke Pritis hooker, Gordon Tallis, Brad Thorne, second rowers, could play. And Kevin Campion was a lock.
Pretty decent side.
It was indeed. Did you have a favourite teammate, Joel?
Yeah, I'd say Mick Gillette. Mick Gillette. Yeah,
Mickey,
he's a ripper bloke. He was just so reliable. And if you ever had to have a chat or anything, and we'd both share plenty with each other, so... Hello to you, Mick. We'll have to get you on this soon yourself.
Well, I'd love to, Mick. Yeah. I would love to catch up for a sherbet too.
Yeah.
We should do that.
You know, I want to give a shout out as well. Another one, great fella, Adam Nable. And also commiserations and thoughts and prayers to the family, of course.
Yeah.
Lost Aaron, the brother. Very, very sad. So very much on behalf of,
yeah,
if I can say on behalf of the whole West Tigers community to the Nable family, I'd love to share those wishes for the family.
Yeah, nice. We echo that as well, Sugar. Back to 2000 then, Junior Pierce was the coach. Was there a teacher's pet in the team?
I reckon year one, maybe Terry Hill.
Tez.
And then maybe year two, not so much.
I wonder why.
I'll never forget.
Tez, wherever you are too, brother.
I reckon year one for sure. But year two, him and Tony Green, the trainer, who's a lovely bloke too, they just had a bit of a, I don't know, disagreement. Tete-a-tete. But we had to go to Centennial Park to ride laps, you know, with the bikes. We all had to buy these brand new bikes. And there's no sign of Terry Hill. And then Terry Hill turns up. He refused to buy the bike. And he was probably the highest paid player in the club. So he turns up with the oldest bike he can find with a basket and tassels. Right? Right? No gears or anything like that. And
basket,
and
yeah.
So Tony Green's into him. You know, Terry, what are you doing, mate? Blah, blah, blah. It's unprofessional. He said, well, when was the last time you saw somebody ride a bike to score a try, you know? But I tell you what, though, he had a presence.
Yeah.
He had a real presence. When you were similar to Jimmy Dimmick, we're talking about him earlier.
Well, they were both at the Magpies when I was out there.
They come through the school of hard knocks. And if you were alongside them, you felt very comfortable. We wouldn't have been a fun team to play against. Like, if you go through that first Tigers team, Hopewadi, McCracken, Terry Hill, McGuinness Boys, Centre, Walker, list goes on. It was a tough, tough side.
Absolutely. And talking about Tez too, and the question was teacher's pet. If I was to be asked who was Warren Ryan's teacher's pet out there at the Magpies that day, I reckon Tez might have been.
Yeah.
I was very fond of Tez.
Well, he's just a character. And you know what? You need every winning team, and he won premierships, of course, Tez. You need characters in the team.
Absolutely. Was there a best game? This is your favourite five, by the way. It's right for number four, just to keep you on track. Was there a best game you remember as a West Tigers player?
There was a game. I reckon it would have been Jamie Lyon's debut. And he was marking Terry Hill, actually. And it was a packed out Parramatta Stadium. And I think we won 18-16, but the game was on a knife's edge the whole game. And we find a way. Mick Gillette had a blinder that day, actually. Mm. But that's probably one of the favourite ones.
Number six, wasn't he, Mick?
But if you ever have to go and watch a game, unfortunately, that game against Penrith, when we're leading 31-8 and flogging them, just some of the tries we scored, Luke O'Donnell, Hopper, Craig Field was having a day out. That's a good game to watch. Unfortunately, maybe turn it off with about 10 to go.
Got run down.
Got beat. Jeez. I'll never forget it. Chris Hicks.
31-8.
Ryan Gerler was out. Chris Hicks, who I think the week before kicked none from five or something, couldn't get a kick and a stampede. And this day's kicking everything. Absolutely kicking everything. They score. Tony Pulitua goes berserk and Joe Nullivar. They absolutely tore us to shreds at the end of the game. And Chris Hicks has got this kick to make it 32-31 from the sideline. And I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to look at him. I just turned around where that old Panther was. Remember that on the Southern Hill?
Yeah.
And I just looked at the crowd. And it's amazing how quiet a crowd can be with, it must have been 20,000 there.
Mate, siren sounded yet? Or is it
It's getting close. And if they take the lead, we're completely cooked because we were just in quicksand. But you hear this, the thud of the ball. And as soon as you heard that thud, the Panthers' flags just went straight up. And you knew it was sailing over.
Before it's even gone through the sticks.
32-31. Yeah, that's right.
What about we're behind the roar. We got a sting like that? The Panthers proud?
That was the original, wasn't it?
Yeah. So listen, I thought you might have said that time where you scored a hat-trick was one of your...
Oh, of course,
Okay, finally, in Fave 5 in 25, was there a favourite fan or a group of fans or maybe a family that you sort of grew quite fond of during your time at West Tigers?
There was a lot of fans and I've stayed in contact with, but as far as a fan, he was also part of the club, Barbecue Bob. Remember Barbecue Bob?
Absolutely.
Mate, just he was there for everyone else. He wasn't there for him and what's in it for him. He never asked for anything. Magpie Mark, great bloke. These guys behind the scenes who were just great club people. You know, they were just they're the ones I've sort of remember the most.
God, yeah. Okay, well, Barbecue Bob was out there at Arana Park when I started.
Both those were at the West Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark the Magpie and Barbecue Bob, whose son, Hot Plate.
Yeah, that's right.
I think.
That's right.
Remember?
That's right, yeah. Hot Plate.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah. They were good days, huh?
Great days.
Good days. Just before we get to the turnbuckle time.
Oh, wow.
Just looking ahead to this weekend. Yep. So for us, it's our first home game at Leichhardt. It's a huge event, huge occasion. Lockie Galvin, game number two. Justin Olam comes back. So it'll be his first game for West Tigers. Got over that knee injury. He's a good asset, a good acquisition, isn't he, Justin?
Well, you just what it is, and I mentioned Terry Hill and I mentioned Jim Dimmick. Sometimes, Chris, it's just about when you're in the sheds getting ready for a game and you see them there and you go, oh, yeah, we're okay. And that's why I reckon there was a Tony Ray who was coaching the London Broncos. I reckon there was a game where he dressed Jimmy Dimmick purely so that we knew he was there. Once you get out of the field, you sort of don't pay as much attention. It's just all frantic and away you go. But Olam will give that sort of presence in the sheds this week. And I mentioned the Dolphins situation, not too dissimilar. Now, the Dolphins, pretty ordinary week one, coming up against a team who everyone's up and about, which is the Dragons, which the Sharks are up and about at the moment.
Yeah,
it's your first game at home with a big brimming crowd. You've had that week because you know what it's like as a player. It's a long off season, so you want that first win, right? You want that. In fact, the first West Tigers win was against the Warriors, I think you'll find, at Leichhardt as well.
Yeah.
So it's... Galvin comes in for the second time, knowing this time I can do this.
Absolutely.
So dreams are free, you never know.
Absolutely. And on that, so Aiden Caesar will be guiding the team around.
Yes.
So we know that. A cool head.
Yep.
Startoa, so it's a blow for Star. He had surgery earlier in the week, so he'll be out for an extended period.
The timing for Olam's perfect.
Olam comes straight back in. Sharkies, though, been going good.
Of course
they have. They've got a very good record against us, I'm pretty sure, particularly at Leichhardt.
They've got some bullets to fire. That's what they have. And
how do you beat them? What's the key to shutting them down?
Well, unlike Canberra, the game, we've got to get out of the gates. You get that first try.
Boom.
And a lot can happen. They've had a couple of big games, the Sharkies. Their defence, I mentioned Steve Price, he looks after their defence there. They've scored, I think they've only conceded three tries. I reckon you've got to play a bit, and Benji's sort of got this written all over him, but you've got to play with a bit of chaos sometimes. A lot of tries you score, they aren't set pieces.
Mm-mm.
It's just a little bit of chaos, something happens. That's why I reckon, Chris, where you see it so often where there's a handover, say inside the 20 or inside the 30, and teams default to doing this stupid hit up. And it gives, so you had the team in chaos, you do the hit up and now they're back aligned.
Yeah.
I would shift it straight away and keep them in chaos. But I don't know why teams don't do it. Benji's every chance of doing stuff like that.
Keep them in chaos.
Keep them in chaos.
I like it.
But you know that hit up I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where they all just default.
We know there's going to be a couple of settlers here. Why? A centre will come in and punch it there. Another centre will come in and punch it there.
Why burn the tackles? Let's go.
Okay. Well, let's see. Yeah. Bring on the chaos at Leichhardt on Saturday. So get out there if you can. And listen, by the way, if you don't mind me giving it a plug, show your stripes. If you're not a member and maybe you don't want a season ticket, that's cool. Jump on board. $75 for adults, $45. That's for the club membership, all right? Just get on board. We've recalibrated the way we're counting our membership.
Yep.
We're not including the 9,000 juniors who are registered players.
Right.
So we've reset a target of 10,000, right? Yep. So I think we've picked up 700 in the past 3 weeks of joined. So come on, get on board and show your stripes. The other thing, just on you're right, and you touched on it. Game one for Lockie Galvin's out of the way.
Yeah, he knows he can do it.
It'll be a whole different prep for him, knowing that he can do it, right?
Yep.
Look out.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a star. And he might even have representative football in front of him, Chris. He's 18.
That's right.
He's
absolutely. 18, isn't he? Don't put too much pressure on the kid.
Oh, but 18.
No, absolutely. And back to Canberra, Appy's try.
Yeah. Mate, not even his try.
The play before?
Mate, there was two plays where, and I said to my daughter this morning, I said, he's too smart. The marker's not square. Appy gets out straight with a penalty. I think it was one of the Canberra forwards is trotting back offside, trying to get onside. Yeah. Appy passes it straight at him.
Got him.
Penalty.
Yeah.
Too smart.
Too clever. Anyway, good luck to the boys this weekend. You ain't seen nothing
like this. Pro Wrestling Australia presents Ringmasters at the Sydney Spiegelton, Friday, April 19. Tickets available now on OzTix. PWA Ringmasters. This ain't no three-ring circus.
Yep.
Righto. You know what time it is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do you know what time it is?
I'm off the turnbuckle, Chris.
It is turnbuckle time, okay? This is thanks to Pro Wrestling Australia, okay? You're coming off the top ropes.
Yes.
All right. What are some of those moves on is it the frog flop on the canvas? What are we got? The flog splash.
Frog splash. Yeah, let's splash. Yeah.
Righto.
Okay.
So there are six questions, Joel E. Kane. All right.
Oh, there's six questions.
There's six questions, 4 points each correct question.
Gotcha.
6-4 is 24, plus a bonus question.
Okay.
To get you to the magic number of 25.
Gotcha.
25th okay. year. You got where we're
going. I thought there was 25 questions. No, that's fine.
No. Righto. I think you could scoop the pool here.
Okay.
I really do.
My memory's okay. a bit foggy these days.
25 out of 25 is the max score.
Yep.
And you will go home with the new Kia.
Okay, right? the yellow
the keys to the car. Yes, yellow. Righto, but you've only got a minute on the clock.
Okay. So you can pass and come back to it, can you?
If you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We ready to go?
Here we go.
Turnbuckle time, Joel E. Kane in the hot seat. Your NRL debut against the Raiders in round 23. What was the score?
28-24.
Correct. Your halves in that game were?
Matt Robwell.
Yes. And? This was for the Dragons.
Mundine.
Anthony Mundine. Correct. You're on 8 points. Question three. Can you name the Raiders player who scored two tries in that game?
Ooh.
This was Joel playing for
Dragons. I think I'm too early on this. I want to say Vainicolo.
Are you locking that in?
McClendon.
Which one?
Mark McClendon. Andrew McFadden.
Are you
was it?
Locking that in?
Andrew McFadden.
The volcano.
Oh, I said it first.
I said, are you locking it in?
I thought you were trying to talk me out of it.
No, you said no.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Play on.
The volcano.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, can we give him that? Is that the timer already? Nah, come on. Give him that. Righto, we're giving you volcano.
Okay,
you're perfect so far. You're on 12 points. Your debut for Balmain in 1999. Who was the captain of the opposition?
Oh.
You played the Sharks round one at Shark Park. Who was the captain
Andrew
of the Sharks?
Andrew Reddinghausen.
Correct. ET it was. You lost 44-0. Your debut for West Tigers in 2000.
Yes.
24-all against the Broncos.
Yes.
Who scored West Tigers 24 points?
I got 20. John Scandalis got 4.
Correct.
Yes.
You had 3 tries and you kicked 4 from
That's
5.
It.
20
it.
Points for Jolie, 4 for Scando. First ever West Tigers try score. Questions. He's on 5 fours at 20. Question 6. Name the player from the Broncos who would later play 4 seasons at West Tigers. So the player from the Broncos in that first game would later play 4 seasons with West Tigers.
Oh, in that team.
The Broncos team on that day, very first game.
Lottie Dakiri.
Correct.
Yeah.
6-4 is 24. Okay, here comes the bonus question for a perfect score. Come on, Jolly. From that same game, West Tigers' very first game, name the Broncos' back 5.
Ooh, Lottie Dakiri, Wendell Saylor, Darren Lockyer, Mick DeVere, and Ben Eichen.
Boom! Joel E. Kane scoops the pool.
Thank you, mate. That was fun.
I told you. He's an absolute stats geek.
Yeah.
Leslie Vainicolo.
You'll have to chop it when I say, I should just say lock it in, and then you can chop out the...
I'm keeping all this
I'll
in.
I'll keep it all in.
I'm keeping all this in.
Righto.
So you've got 25 out of 25. If there's a count back down the track.
Yeah, protest uphill.
There may be a protest.
Yeah, protest uphill.
All right. Jolly, there is the time break. We are out of time.
Beautiful. Thank you,
thanks
sir.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Mate, thanks for giving me the memories that I had forgotten about.
Yeah. West Tigers player number one ahead of our very first home game for the season in our 25th season of West Tigers. Good luck out there, fellas, against the Sharks at Leichhardt. To all you members and supporters, you know, get out there. We look forward to showing your stripes out there, and the ball team as well. They play as the curtain raiser. And again, to our Andrew Johns Cup boys, good luck up there this weekend in the grand final of that competition. Jolly, again, thanks very much, and we'll see you again soon. And you can catch Jolly every afternoon.
Yes, Monday to Friday, 3 p.m., myself and Brian Fletcher, the run home. So tune into that. And I've now just worked out why you only shared the forwards of that Broncos team when you went through it. Is that right?
Correct. Thanks, brother.
Good on you, mate. Thank you, Will.
There is Jolly Kane, West Tigers player number one. We'll do it all again next week on Behind the Raw.
Behind the Raw, the official podcast of West Tigers.